The Old Testament lesson for the third last Sunday of the church year is written in the book of Exodus, the 32nd chapter. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, "Up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." So Aaron said to them, "Take off the rings of gold that are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord." And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, for your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. They have made for themselves a golden calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" And the Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, in order that I may make a great nation of you." But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, "O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'With evil intent did he bring them out, to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth'? Turn from your burning anger and relent from this disaster against your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, 'I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised I will give to your offspring, and they shall inherit it forever.' And the Lord relented from the disaster that he had spoken of bringing on his people. Then Moses turned and went down from the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, tablets that were written on both sides, on the front and on the back they were written. The tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, engraved on the tablets. Then when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, "There is a noise of war in the camp." But he said, "It is not the sound of shouting for victory or the sound of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing that I hear." And as soon as he came near the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, Moses' anger burned hot, and he threw the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. He took the calf that they had made and burned it with fire and ground it to powder and scattered it on the water and made the people of Israel drink it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Your foes have roared in the midst of your meeting place. They set up their own signs for signs.
Thank you.
The epistle is written in St. Paul's first letter to the church in Thessalonica, the fourth chapter. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do, who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus answered them, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There, for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you.'" And he said to the disciples, "The days are coming when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, 'Look there,' or 'Look here.' Do not go out or follow them. For as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. So will it be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Jesus said, "Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will keep it." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed third last Sunday of the church year to all of you. And I have to say, as we wind down yet another election cycle and yet another liturgical year also comes to a close, I have to say I think it's very useful for us to have texts like that of our gospel lesson appointed for today, which focus our attention on the close of the age. Texts like these, dear ones, are very useful in helping us not lose the forest for the trees. They help us in such a way that amid all the hustle and bustle of daily life, amid all the clamor and the noise, we would still be grounded and rightly oriented the way we need to be as faithful Christians, and so that we're not caught off guard by the reality soon to come, by the fact that this world will soon end, and that when it does, the truth about our Lord and our lives lived in relation to Him, all of that will suddenly be unmistakably clear. Our Lord Jesus says this, "As the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in His day." And of course, when lightning flashes in a big storm, it's startling and unexpected to be sure, but you don't need an expert in meteorology with 30 years in the field and a PhD. You don't need him to explain to you what you're seeing. No one needs diagrams or flow charts or anything like that to know what's happening right in front of your face. The bright, piercing light ripping through the heavens. The loud boom that shakes you to the core. There's no doubt for us what's happening right in front of us and what it is and what it means. Suddenly it all becomes quite clear to you. And so it will be on that day when our Lord returns. So pay no attention then to any TV preacher or prophet wannabe who might tell you that Christ has returned to some obscure location, some secret lair that you have to search out carefully, or you might miss him. Do not go out and follow them, our Lord says. And don't listen either when people lay claim to knowing precisely when the end will come either. That day will come like a thief in the night, in an hour you do not expect. And so to have someone tell you when that hour will be after the Lord himself says no one will know, well, you might as well be listening to a drunken fool telling you precisely when and where the lightning will strike. They are frauds and charlatans who make such claims. They teach for shameful gain the things they ought not to teach because they love money and temporal things in this life more than the Lord. And if these people had any idea of what's coming if they don't repent, they would weep and wail because of their deceitful words. They would immediately renounce them and beg the Lord for forgiveness on their knees day and night. They dare to speak words in God's name that He has not given them to speak. Words which wander away from what He's caused to be written in the Holy Scriptures and thus lead people to wander away from the Lord in turn. Such people are storing up unbearable wrath for themselves and their followers on the day when our Lord returns in glory. And as sudden and unmistakably clear as His second coming will be, so will the destruction be that He brings upon them and all others who are faithless and unfaithful to Him. Like what happened in the days of old. Our Lord Jesus in our text brings up how it was in the days of Noah. They were eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage. He says, people were carrying on as they always have. They were completely engrossed in their own affairs. They were tending to this and now to that. They were living out normal, everyday life. And almost everyone was swept up in thinking that God would always let it be that way. Until the day, Christ says, when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. These people distracted themselves with willful ignorance of Noah's preaching, and they comforted themselves with false promises until the fountains of the great deep were opened, and suddenly they were swept away in the floodwaters, and it became clear they were dead wrong.
all of them. Suddenly, it became all too clear. They wanted to preserve their life in this world above all else, because they loved life in this world above all else, above even the Lord and the salvation he freely gives. So they lost their life in this world and eternal life with him. And in today's lesson, our Lord also says the same thing about those who lived in Sodom in the days of Lot, the nephew of the patriarch Abraham. They too, he says, were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. And if you've ever been even remotely close to a raging wildfire, for example, you've seen a glimpse of how terrifying the destruction of Sodom must have been. When I was in college, Lauren and I were going up to a wedding of a friend of ours in Santa Barbara, California, and everything was great until we found ourselves well removed, but still just a little too close for comfort to a wildfire. And we saw what looked like mountains of thick black smoke and ash being spewed up into the air. It blanketed the sky, and it looked like nighttime, even though it was midday. We couldn't see the sun. We had no idea where it was. The wind was howling. The sirens were wailing, and in the distance we could see a wall of fire in front of us that must have been at least 30 feet tall in some parts. And it looked like the mouth of hell was opening up in front of us. And as I think back on that experience, I cannot help but say, thank God that in his mercy, we weren't over there being consumed with everything else in that fire. And I also can't help but think of the destruction of Sodom and what happened to Lot's wife and what will happen at the end of the age. As Lot and those who were with him were being saved from the fiery destruction of Sodom, his wife looked back, and she apparently looked with unholy longing and love for her life there, instead of the new life and salvation the Lord was bringing her into by his mercy. She was in love with life in this present world and wanted to preserve her life in a place doomed to pass away. And in light of these things, dear ones, it's good for us to ask some very direct, soul-searching questions of ourselves. Are you in love with life in this present world? Would you give anything to preserve your life here and now, even if it meant losing eternal life with the Lord? Even if you knew the world would burn when he returns? Well, make no mistake, dear ones, the intentions of your heart and mine will suddenly become clear on the day of the Lord. And as if you didn't already know, here's what else will suddenly, unmistakably be clear: that the Lord is faithful to his promises, that's all, and all that's written about him in the Holy Scriptures is true, and because he shed his blood for you and redeemed you and was raised from the dead for you, no destruction will fall on any one of you who repent of your sins and believe in him and call upon his name. Suddenly it will be clear that all you baptized faithful have already died to life in this fallen world. And the new life given you in Christ, the crucified, this new life and eternal life you will keep. In fact, Christ now lives in you by faith, just like St. Paul says. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And in the day of our Lord's return, while all the wickedness and corruption and filth are being consumed in the fire of God's wrath, you will be caught up and gathered to the holy body of Jesus, which is to be caught up and gathered to the place of salvation. And I'll close with this. It's what Jesus says after his disciples once again don't understand what he's told them. He says there will be two in one bed, and one will be taken and the other left. And when the disciples ask, "Where, Lord?" he responds in this way. In the Greek text, he says, "Where the body is, there the vultures will be gathered." Which is as much for him to say, among other things, that too will be suddenly, unmistakably clear to you. Because just as we are gathered here, dear ones, today, at this altar, in the Lord's Supper for life and salvation, to receive Christ's true body, in this way we'll also be gathered and brought near to his glorious body in that day for the very same. So may God grant that until then we would gladly die to the world and lose our lives every day for Christ's sake, and that when he appears in glory, suddenly the truth about our new life in him and the salvation he gives as a gift will all be unmistakably clear. To Christ be all the glory forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.